Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you for listening to the Fierce Audie podcast, where we talk about disability, quackery, parenting, and Jewish life.
Hello, everybody. We are back. I normally don't do another one so quickly, but of course, a new form of quackery, well, not really that new, has hit my Google alerts. And of course, I had to do more research about it. And of course, like most things, this was a rabbit hole. So we're talking about the keto diet or the ketogenic diet. Carrie Rivera was talking about this in her second book on how to bleach your child. And so she says that they have to eat low carb or no carb and high fat in order for the autism to go away, in addition to receiving bleach enemas. It's horrific. But quacks will quack. So it seems like this was something out of Carrie Rivera's quack brain. Bleach is not enough to cure them, but cutting all carbs out of a child's diet along with bleach will cure them. This is not an original idea, since a ketogenic diet was originally developed to aid in the control of uncontrolled epilepsy. And epilepsy is often comorbid with autism. It must work for autistic behavior too. This is a very unscientific conclusion, but when it comes to autism, the gold standard isn't scientific either, but that's what everybody uses. It's ABA. Their science is just data sheets on how people behave. The origin of the ketogenic diet. Everybody knows, we all have to know the history. Everybody should know history of what they're dealing with. That way they have a better understanding of it. Fasting and other dietary treatments have been used to treat epilepsy since at least 500 BCE. Fasting was the precursor to the ketogenic diet. The starvation or fasting diet came first. It was recorded by a pair of Parisian doctors, Goulef and Marie, in 1911. They treated 20 children and adults with epilepsy and reported that the epilepsy symptoms have improved, but there was no specific details. There were more recorded accounts of the fasting diet in the United States in the early 20th century. The first report was from an osteopathic doctor named Dr. Hugh Conklin from Battle Creek, Michigan. Then, of course, a quack gets involved. There was a second account recorded that was for Bernard McFadden. He was a physical fitness guru, publishing genius, cultist, quack of the 20th century. He told his readers how to develop themselves physically, how to maintain their health, and how to cope with illness. No medical qualifications, each issue of his magazine, Physical Culture, was featured sickly people who then miraculously became cured due to McFadden's guidance. By the end of World War I, his magazine circulated to 500,000 people. McFadden claimed if people fasted 3 days to 3 weeks, it could cure any disease, including epilepsy. He had become nationally recognized. In 1931, he tried to ingratiate himself with Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he was a presidential candidate. This was part of a strategy to become the first Secretary of Health. Conklin uses McFadden's method, and it becomes a domino effect. Dr. Conklin started as McFadden's assistant. He adopted McFadden's method of fasting to treat ailments. Because of Conklin's practice of fasting to treat epilepsy, the results caught attention. Dr. Conklin's work caught the eye of H. Rawl Galen, an endocrinologist at the New York Presbyterian Hospital. Dr. Galen first reported at the American Medical Association convention in 1921 about his experience with fasting as a treatment for epilepsy. He was the first to document cognitive improvement that could happen with fasting. This caught the interest of Harvard doctors. Dr. Stanley Cobb and W.G. Lennox of Harvard University were at his talk. Because of this success of Conklin's results with fasting, it spread. By 1941, it had been prominent in the textbook of Penfield and Erickson on epilepsy from the Montreal Neurologic Institute. In the early 1920s, Drs. Cobb and Lennox at Harvard Medical School began studying the effects of starvation as a treatment for epilepsy. They noted that seizure improvement typically occurs after 2 to 3 days. Lennox documented that the control of seizures occurred through a change of body metabolism, that the simple absence of food or carbohydrates in the body forced the body to burn acid-forming fat. The ketogenic diet. The ketogenic or keto diet was introduced in the 1920s to mimic fasting to aid in the treatment of uncontrolled epilepsy. For 40 years, this therapy was available, but now with new anticonvulsant medication, there was a dramatic decline in the diet's use. In 1921, two pivotal observations were made. Dr. Woodyatt noted that acetone and beta-hydroxybutyric acid appeared in a normal subject by starving or a diet containing very low amount of carbohydrates and too high proportion of fat. At the same time, Dr. Wilder at the Mayo Clinic proposed that the benefits of fasting could be obtained if ketonemia was produced another way. Wilder said that a ketogenic diet should be tried with epileptic patients. He suggested that the diet should be as effective as fasting and could be maintained for a much longer period of time because people can't go without eating for very long. Wilder did report that his patients that were treated with the ketone-producing diet at the Mayo Clinic and coined the term ketogenic diet. Peterman at the Mayo Clinic reported the calculation of KD similar to that was used today. Formula is 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight in children, 10 to 15 grams of carbohydrates per day, and the remainder of calories in fat. Peterman documented the importance of teaching parents and carers how to manage the diet before they were discharged from the clinic. They each got an individualized diet and a close follow-up. He also noted improvements in behavior and cognitive effects that accompanied the KD. The use of KD was recorded in almost every textbook in epilepsy in children that was published between 1941 and 1980. Most of these textbooks had full chapters explaining the diet and how to start it. It also showed how to calculate meal plans. Throughout the 1920s and 30s, KD was widely used. Dr. Livingston at Johns Hopkins Hospital reported on the results in this textbook. Results of the diet in over 1,000 children with epilepsy that he had followed for over the previous decades. He said that 52% had complete control of seizures and 27% had improved control. When anticonvulsion medication was discovered in 1938, the attention of physicians and researchers shifted focus from this mechanism of action and the efficacy of the KD to the new drugs. It became something of the past. We're going to take a break. And we're going to go into how keto came back and what it's used for, what it should be used for, and what it's used for that makes it quackery. Thank you. And we are back. So we're going to go into the modern uses of the ketogenic diet. The use of KD decreased dramatically, and PubMed only listed 2 to 8 publications per year from 1970 to 2000. This changed when KD was on international media. It was featured on Dateline, that aired a program on the diet. There was a large spike in PubMed articles published, average over 40 per year since it aired. It was about a story of Charlie, a 2-year-old boy who had uncontrollable seizures. He was brought to Johns Hopkins Hospital out of desperation for help. He was seen by Dr. Freeman and Miss Millicent Kelly, a dietitian who worked with Dr. Livingston. They initiated the KD with this little boy. He quickly became seizure-free, and the Charlie Foundation was founded by the boy's father. This foundation released informational videos for parents and instructional videos for physicians and dietitians about the KD. The Charlie Foundation also funded the epilepsy diet treatment, the introduction to the ketogenic diet. This was a multi-center prospective study to the efficacy of the KD. In 1997, Charlie's father directed the film First Do No Harm, starring Meryl Streep. It aired on national TV. The KD experienced a reemergence in recent years, and modern clinical trials have established the treatment as effective. Now it is available in over 45 countries. This all sounds great, but of course we can't have nice things because the quacks get a hold of it. The ketogenic diet for autism. It is true that 26% of autistic children are more likely to have epilepsy. One condition is neurological and genetic, and the other is organic. Autism is neurological and genetic. Epilepsy is organic. Epilepsy is a common comorbidity with autistic people, and there are a lot of conditions that are often comorbid with being autistic. In order to do this safely, urinary ketones need to be monitored and blood work needs to be measured for beta hydroxybutyrate. So that's because if you have too much ketones, you can go into something called ketoacidosis. I have touched on this in other episodes. Due to my son having type 1 diabetes, we have to monitor for ketones quite a bit when his sugar is high. There was one legitimate study available that even acknowledges that the sample size was too small to even make a determination. The study was in China and was funded by the Foundation of 2018 Beijing Key Clinical Specialty Construction Project Pediatrics. They did say that KD did improve scores on the ATEC. ATEC is a score that almost all quacks use. It is a checklist of how children behave. It does not measure anything, and most quacks use it to establish how well their quackery works. It is Autism Research Institute's test. It is a checklist. It did not affect the, quote, restricted and repetitive behavior scores, unquote. One child improved social communication, but they only had 6 children in the sample. The researchers said, although KD-induced decrease in seizures will lead to better quality of life in patients with epilepsy, including ASD, it is not associated with improvements in behaviors in ASD patients. Anti-epileptic drugs do not have a large effect on behavioral symptoms in ASD. You heard it from the researchers. It does not cure stimming as much as people say it does. The ketogenic diet is also used by Kerry Rivera in addition to fluorine dioxide in autistic children. If you've been following me for a while, you know I have been fighting against Kerry Rivera, who promotes and makes money off of people bleaching their children with bleach enemas. And it's not just sodium chloride you have underneath your sink. It is chlorine dioxide. It is almost like swimming pool chlorine, but much more concentrated. When I was on the Dr. Oz show, He opened up the two bottles of chlorine dioxide and he put a drop on jeans. It showed that they deteriorated, and I can add the link to that episode in the description. And also, when he opened up the bottle, you could smell it in the whole studio. I had the smell of chlorine dioxide with me for months. I was able to talk to other advocates who I was able to deal with it, but it was very difficult because imagine that being stuck into your bum with a liter of water. It's not just the regular Fleet enema you find in the store. There is a whole, it's at least a liter of fluid going into a very tiny child. Yes, Carrie Rivera, the bleach queen, has parents who give their children industrial bleach enemas, a ketogenic diet. She calls it the modified keto diet. She outlines the diet in a book called Healing the Symptoms Known as Autism, Second Edition. She offers supplements on her online store, but it looks like her site is mostly taken down. I was able to get some information from archive.org. As it used to say, the book outlines the basis for my protocol at the time it was written. Much of the bones of the protocol are still the same, and this book provides the background and details many people look for when they are researching a health-promoting program for their families. On the same page, she had the disclaimer. None of the product statements on this website have been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. If you suspect you may have a disease or condition, you should consult a licensed healthcare practitioner. Just take that in for a second. She has her webpage contradicting itself. I honestly think that disclaimer is only on there so the FDA wouldn't come after her, but they did anyway. Now we have the University of Hawaii. Now they want a turn with the ketogenic diet for autism. The University of Hawaii received a $1,519,939 grant to research the ketogenic diet to see if it can help with repetitive behaviors when the study that was cited before said just that, even though the sample size was very small. They want to eliminate rocking, toe tapping, hand flapping, spinning objects, etc. They are trying to eliminate stimming. Quartz, my dragon, is a stim toy, and he moves around like this. And I have other things, such as this unicorn plushie that I rescued from the thrift store. And he's very upset right now because of this. He's very angry that people are trying to change us when this money could have been used to better our lives. They are trying to eliminate stimming. They know nothing about stimming, and they say it's due to stress or having carbohydrate-rich meals. We stim for many reasons, not because of stress. For personal experience, I can say I still stimmed when I was on a ketogenic diet for insulin resistance and for PCOS. I had an endocrinologist who wanted me on it, and then my insurance changed, and I was taken off of it. It's a good thing because it made me really sick. I felt like I was dying, where I was dizzy all the time. Even with orthostatic hypotension, it was worse than usual. If you don't need to do it, don't do it. It really makes you feel sick, and you have something called the keto flu when you first start it, and I had to do nothing but drink Gatorade and Powerade just to stay functioning, because I am the breadwinner for home, and I have to be able to make the money here. The University of Hawaii at Manawa announced a public impact research project that will investigate the genetic and metabolic. It will investigate genetic and metabolic properties that would help them come up with a treatment to treat or eliminate stimming. It's part of the autistic culture. We do not want you to stop our stimming. And I don't think you could, even if you tried. Students or younger children who suffer from repetitive behaviors, they cannot focus during class time and also social activities between kids. If we can reduce the repetitive behaviors without causing anything major or other side effects, that is our goal, said Principal Investigator and School Life Sciences Associate Professor Masato Yoshizawa. Our project is trying to mitigate the difficulty as much as possible by at least invasive method, which is diet and nutritional treatment. So those of you who don't know, keeping yourself busy with your hands actually helps you concentrate. While I'm recording this, I am toe tapping because it's helping me concentrate. Trying to do this to these kids is going to be extremely detrimental and have a lot of psychiatric complications. The UH researchers are collaborating with doctors at Shriners Hospitals for Children who have discovered that ketosis can reduce repetitive behavior. Again, the study that we spoke about before proves them wrong. The University of Hawaii researchers study two forms of the Mexican tetrafish. One lives in caves and the other lives in rivers and ponds. Living in caves promotes repetitive circling, while living in rivers and ponds does not show repetitive circling. This includes stressful environments. The researchers discovered that ketogenic diet feeding reduces the repetitive behavior in the Mexican tetrafish and in caves, resulting in two implications. The genomic changes from fish living on the surface to those living in caves induce repetitive behavior. The metabolic change towards ketosis reduces repetitive behavior. We're going to take a break. And we're going to talk about how we are not fish and should not be compared to fish. And we are back. So, like usual, we are not seen as human. We are othered. So this time they want to compare us to tetras. Little tetras that we keep in our fish tank. I mean, I had a neon tetra that I absolutely loved. But I'm not a fish. I loved him. I called him Stripe. I had him for 5 years. He lived a lot longer than he should have. I took extra care of him. I had him when I lived in the North Country the last time, and I moved him to Florida, and he did so well during the move. The researchers do say that they do not consider human conditions and fish traits based on the same physiology because both species are different. They say it is fair to use the fish project to predict the possible genetic and molecular pathways because humans and fish share more than 90% of the gene and molecular pathways. The researchers will generate sets of data from 20,000 genes, 300 serum metabolites, which are small molecules in serum. Serum is the liquid left over in blood after it clots. 1,000 gut microorganisms, because of course they can't leave the gut out of anything, leave our poop alone. 3D images of active neurons in the brain. See, I would be really interested to see that. Just because I don't think I've ever seen a 3D image of a neuron. That's just me geeking out. See, they can't stop my stimming because all of this is like a mental stim for me. I just love the science, which is why I dig so deep, because I have to know more. They plan on training undergraduate and graduate students to support future scientists and biomedical specialists. Biomedical is a red flag. Biomedical usually means quackery in the form of bleach, supplements, chelation, and the like. We are not fish. Obviously, they did not consult any autistic people when coming up with this study. Humans are genetically similar to many species. Mammals have descended from ancestral species that lived about 100 million years ago. In our mammalian ancestry, an average base has changed at a slow rate of about one change per billion years. Humans share 90% of DNA with mice, dogs, cattle, and elephants. The DNA of humans is 98 to 99% identical to chimpanzees. Human DNA is also very similar to reptiles, invertebrates, and plants. We have similar DNA to a banana. Why didn't they use bananas, as they do not see autistics as human beings? Why did they choose fish? Is this the only animal that behaved the way they wanted to so they could perform this study? If that is so, this is skewed research and invalid. We stim due to different emotions, excitement, happiness, sadness, depression, anger, etc. If this is being done to kids, they will know what the goal is and they will suppress it. And that causes psychological issues. This is the same thing ABA does. Not that the ketogenic diet will work, but they will know what they're trying to do and try to please. Children like to please their parents. They like to please adults or anybody in authority. This will be dangerous and will cause psychological harm that they will be unpacking well into adulthood. I am talking from experience. I'm sorry to bring ABA into this, but this is exactly what ABA does. This money could have been better spent researching ways to improve our lives, not to get us to appear neurotypical. Be proud and loud, however that is to you.
Don't forget to subscribe or follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Keep on speaking your truth and never let your flame burn out. Thank you for listening.